fascinated about how fast your hair grows.
I have fast growing hair.
Yeah, you are.
That's a Rogaine.
It's all a Rogaine.
It's a good talent. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Oh, all right.
City Council will come to order. It's Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. It's 9:30 a.m. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We will proceed. Can you please read the title to communications, item number 671?
Request of Michael Krupp to address council regarding selling of our mother city.
Mr. Krupp, all right, can you please read the title to item number 672?
Request of Craig Rogers to address council regarding abandoned houses.
Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
You just need to give us your first and last name, and that clock will help you count down your 3 minutes.
Craig Rogers.
Have a seat.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will first start off here with a letter written by Mark Galke, principal.
You can sit down, sir.
Floyd Light Middle School. Dear Portland City Council, I'm writing to express my severe concern about two abandoned, damaged, rundown properties located at 10840. And 10848 Southeast Salmon Street, Portland, Oregon. These two homes are located extremely close to Floyd Light Middle School, which educates over 800 12 to 14-year-old students. Unfortunately, many of our kids are aware of these structures, and we've dealt with a variety of unhealthy and crime-related issues committed on or close to the properties. In particular, arson, drugs, alcohol, and sex have all been rumored to take place in these disgusting properties and are regularly talked about by our students. Recently, an arson investigator stopped by to question several of our kids due to some fire setting in one of the properties. Several of our students have their names carved or tagged on the outside, which is an indicator that they frequent the area. We've been battling absenteeism, truancy, and a variety of other social issues, especially with our high-risk students. Having these uninhabited properties in such an isolated setting is enticing to some of these kids and is a danger to anyone who enters them. I'm an educator not familiar with the political or legal processes that need to be followed for demolition. In an effort to protect our kids, I'm imploring to pursue the removal of these unsafe, disgusting, derelict houses. Respectfully, Mark Galke, principal of Floyd Light Middle School. The next letter is from Abby McFarlane, who's in charge of the East Portland Community Center. And the next is from neighbors. Let's go right to that first picture right here. And that's the East Portland Community Center, the part that contains the swimming pools. 100 yards away are those trees. Let's go to the next picture. There's a trail that the kids pass over every day through Floyd Light Park going to their school. And I want you to use your imagination what's in that pile. The next picture is of the house. It's right there on the other side of those trees. The next picture is out the back window. And the next picture is a house beside it. When I went over a week ago with six police officers and their sergeant, there was a gentleman standing out in front who was looking for his daughter who just ran away from home 1 hour before. There was a female, approximately 20 years old, sleeping upstairs with a 12-year-old boy from Floyd Light Middle School in the house also. And on the very back page is the property.
Have you called us? You have not called us. This is your first inquiry, because we have a great team and we have new enhanced procedures.
We will development services. We'll definitely inspect this. This constitutes a complaint, and we will inspect it.
Officer Bob Blank and Officer James West have a very big concern about this, along with others. They've told me that the best that can be done right now with the law as it stands is that plywood is put over the windows and doors that the kids peel off.
That's not true. We just this week got a approval for removal of a house in North Portland, so our folks well-intentioned aren't necessarily up to speed in the newest improved effort, so we'll look right into it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Is there somebody who I could be in touch with as this proceeds?
Matt Grum. right back.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing this to our attention.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be
code,
here.
But while we've got people's attentions, the code enforcement phone number is 503-823. Who's got it by heart?
Code.
So it's 503-823-CODE on any of these kinds of issues. Thanks.
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Can you please read the title for item number 673?
Request of Victoria Taft to address council regarding garbage criminalization.
Good morning. I'm Victoria Taft, and I'm a native of Portland, Oregon, live in the city now, and am a taxpayer. And I'm here to ask you not to raise taxes and fees on water and garbage rates. And I'm also here to beg you not to refer to the ballot a local arts levy or tax. Just this week, the Federal Reserve released a document showing that from 2007 to 2010, Americans' net worth collapsed by 40%. According to the Washington Post, the Federal Reserve said the median net fortunes of families plunged by 39% 3 years from $126,400 in 2007 to $77,300 in 2010. That puts Americans roughly on par with where they were in 1992, end quote. 40,000 jobs have moved out of the city of Portland to surrounding suburbs or just disappeared from existence in the last decade, according to a study by the Portland Business Alliance. Property taxes on the ever-diminishing value of property are still high with no relief in sight. Home values are down. The price of food is going up. Fuel costs are even higher. And the cost of living in Portland, Oregon, those costs are nightmarishly high. And the City Council is now considering the idea of sending costs even higher on people who can least afford it. You want to raise garbage rates for a failed composting plan. Composting is nice. I was already doing it. And now you've rationed garbage service and are charging me and others more. But it's not working. You're considering penalizing and fining people for their failure to comply with your failed plan. How about ditching the plan and giving us our money back? I could certainly use it. Compared to others, I'm doing pretty well. But this stuff hurts. It really does. I cannot even imagine how other people with less means are coping with the increased cost of the city of Portland and living in it. You're considering higher water rates when you've misspent water money on things that had nothing to do with water, such as pretty signs and rehabbing an office building, a white elephant, a water house, and bike paths. And now after you've spent that money, you come back to us with this horrible economic time and you ask for more. In fact, you're going to demand it. You're going to take it. Well, the council gives money away to schools which are already capable of levying, bonding, and taxing. And now you're talking about giving your blessing to ask for an income tax, a $35 a head tax on individuals, on every single person in the area, to go to school art classes and art grants. Grants, perhaps, for more zoo bomber statues. You know, charity's nice, but government isn't charity. City government is supposed to take care of the basics in conformance with its charter. And if you want to take over the schools, why don't you just ask and put it to a vote, and we'll answer you. Portland, I'm afraid, is on a glide path to San Francisco without the wealth. You see it happening right before your eyes. Diminishing numbers of kids in the schools, overtly supporting things that scare away, scare away families such as Occupy Portland, and pretty soon, the only rich people or people on government subsidies or government workers will be able to live in this city, or maybe the likes of Cameron Witten, who's camped out in your front yard. I'm begging for mercy here on behalf of not just myself,
wrap up,
but for people who cannot afford to be here today. Please do not raise taxes and fees. You're just killing us here. It could just kill what's left of our city. Thank you.
Carly, can you please read the item number 674?
A request of Mary Eng to address council regarding human rights violations performed by contractors G4S and Nestle.
Hi,
Hi, thank you so much for being here today. We live in an increased age of information, and I hope that the city government can be more transparent about our contracts with companies that are performing human rights violations, including asphyxiation and torture unto death, like G4S. We have union activist murders alleged by the European Center for Constitutional Rights regarding Nestle. We have union intimidation, and we have murder at Heathrow. The European Parliament has just disavowed the company G4S, and there's a huge campaign against them. They are outside greeting us at the hall, and I'm sure that many G4S employees can be good and ethical people, but with their long-term human rights failings, I think we should take consideration as to what tax dollars are going for companies that intimidate union activists, torture people because they are Islamic, unto death at Heathrow Airport in the UK, and other things that are before inquiry. I have copies, if you would like, of the death of Jimmy Mubenga, the entire report by Inquest. There's also issues of tax avoidance and strike breaking. We have an inquest at the Home Affairs Committee in England regarding the ethicality of G4S. And so at this time of economic deprivation, I think it's very suspicious that the government is making contracts with dubious companies of ethical violations. And so I also have information on Nestle's role with infanticide. I personally do not want to support a company that kills union activists or commits acts of infanticide with their promotion of the formula in third world countries. And then we also have issues of child labor with chocolate. Also the Harkin-Engel Protocol, which is about child labor with chocolate. So child slavery is not something that Portland tax dollars should be endorsing, and I encourage the city government to be fully transparent, publish your contracts, and put them online so we can know what level of accountability is happening at a federal level, a state level, a county level, and a city level, so we can understand as taxpayers if our tax dollars are going to support human rights violations, torture, and death, including torture in Guantanamo by G4S's Wackenhut subsidiary. We can have full accountability in terms of our compliance and complacency and participation and our accountability in supporting your endorsement of human rights violations under the City of Portland. Thank you so much. Would you like more copies? This is extra documentation. It's all online, too, as well.
All right, that gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items to put on the consent agenda? Carl, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have 9:30 time certain. Can you please read the title to 675?
2012 Summer Free for All.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor, and I want to apologize in advance. I have a cold and I've lost a little bit of my voice, but we'll get through this.
Oh.
And, could our special guest please come forward while I do a little introduction. Mayor and colleagues, last week we celebrated the Goldberg family and their efforts to build a fully accessible playground in North Portland, honoring Harper. We also celebrated a visionary former leader on this council and at the Parks Bureau, Charles Jordan, for whom, with your support, we will be renaming the University Park Community Center in his honor. And finally, we celebrated a partner, a conservancy that has taken the lead in helping us restore the Halpern Open sequence to its former glory. And today we get to celebrate another milestone, which is the announcement of our summer free-for-all schedule and a chance to thank some of our stalwart partners who make it possible. As you know, every year we host free family-friendly events in our parks, movies in the parks, concerts, the summer playground program where last year we served over 100,000 healthy meals, the Washington Park Summer Festival, and of course, free swims. I want to begin this morning by thanking a number of people on the parks team who just work extraordinarily hard to make this day possible. First, Kelly Torres-Walker, just indefatigable, And she, among other things, had took the lead this year in securing new grant funding. Matt Sinclair, Jeff Milkus, Nick Hardig from the Parks Foundation, and Emily Hicks from my team. Thanks to our long and growing list of donors, for every $1 that the city invests in Summer Free For All, we match it with $5 from our sponsors through grants and in-kind contributions. That's a heck of a leverage. Today, we're pleased to honor three premier sponsors, although I think only two representatives are here: Daimler Trucks of North America, Blazers, the Trailblazers, and KeyBank. And we also want to give you just a quick sneak peek of the hundreds of free events that will be happening across Portland in parks and neighborhoods in every part of our great city. So it is my pleasure this morning to first introduce the director of your gold medal park system, Mike Abate. Mike?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, mayors and mayor and members of council. As you know, for many years, Portland Parks and Rec has offered this free summer programming, and it's become a stalwart and a key icon in our community. 3 years ago, under Commissioner Fish's leadership, we packaged all of our summer activities into what we now call Summer Free For All. As Commissioner Saltzman's looking at the brochure that kind of lays out all the events. Last year, we estimated nearly 370,000 Portlanders participated in summer free-for-all events, and we are just about to kick off another amazing, amazing summer. We'll offer even more programming this year than we have in the past. 10 nights of entertainment at the Washington Park Summer Festival, plus a sneaker special 11th night. 46 neighborhood concerts in parks, 1 week of free swim lessons, 45 movies in the park, a variety of cultural events at Director Park, 46 playground programs with a free supervised recreation for kids, and 21 free lunch sites. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, we expect again this year to serve well over 100,000 lunches to folks that need it the most. Thanks to the Trailblazers, 6 free basketball clinics this year that they will be hosting. And as Commissioner Fish mentioned, the majority of the money to pay for these comes from our community and from key sponsors. Many of them return year after year after year because they see the benefits in our community. We have several categories of sponsorship, and I just want to mention our premier sponsors. These are companies, individuals, organizations that give $25,000 or more. KeyBank, Daimler Trucks North America, the Portland Trailblazers, Nike, Alpha Radio, Clear Channel, Mobile Marketing, and the National Recreation and Parks Association, the organization that awarded us the gold medal last year. We will have a total of $329,000 in cash contributions, $75,000 in grants, and $850,000 in in-kind contributions, things such as marketing and bus ads and radio and media to get the word out. So it's now my honor to introduce two of our very, very treasured guests and sponsors. First, Ian Jaquist from the Portland Trailblazers, the Make It Better Foundation. The Blazers have gone from $1,000 in contributions to over $40,000 in cash and in-kind contributions this year. That's a remarkable.
Mike, we should also acknowledge this year they actually threw in 2 draft picks, number 6 and 11.
We
thank you for that as well.
The general manager and coach to be named soon. They've committed to hosting the 6 free basketball clinics, and Portland Trailblazers staff are going to volunteer on 6 consecutive Make It Better Fridays this summer to weed, paint, spread mulch, clean up parks and facilities all over the city. The Portland Trailblazers and the Make It Better Foundation have been an outstanding summer free-for-all sponsor, and we look forward to continued partnerships in the years ahead. And then Dave Wiedrich of Daimler Trucks North America. This is Daimler's 6th year as a Washington Park Summer Festival sponsor to the tune of $50,000 in cash. That's a remarkable contribution to our community. They bring their employees one night every year to the Washington Park Summer Festival. And for those who are not employees, they also bring a truck, which is a wonderful icon for the community. And folks love to hear it, see it, and get their picture taken with it. And Daimler really demonstrates their commitment to Portland community at large through this ongoing sponsorship of the Washington Park Summer Festival. So we appreciate them. And I'll turn it over to Dave for a few remarks.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, it's nice to see you all again. Commissioner Fish has mentioned many times that there's significant value in having a headquarters operation in the city of Portland. No shock there. With our corporate headquarters on Swan Island, right in North Portland, and with one of our many manufacturing locations there as well, it's really our employees who benefit from this, as Mike was saying. And whether it's just the Washington Park Summer Festival or through the entire summer free-for-all, they, of course, benefit from this as well. But what I'd like to do is actually encourage any other businesses. It's nice to see the growing base of support. That's wonderful. But I would like to encourage other businesses to get involved in the community in any way that you can, whether it's a headquarter operation or whether you are a small business. Get involved. You will benefit from that support. Your employees will benefit, and certainly the community will as well. So we're looking forward to another summer festival. As Mike said, we'll do our best to have some vehicles on display, whether it's a Freightliner, a Western Star, or a Thomas-built bus. And there may be an occasional horn blast, as we've done in the past. We'll see how that works. But we're very pleased to be a part of this again, and we look forward to seeing you in the parks.
Thanks for your investment, your contribution in so many different ways.
Ian?
Thank you for having us here today on behalf of the Trailblazers. We're thrilled to be partnering with the parks. We've been in the parks for many summers, and we've held events there many times throughout the seasons, throughout the years, and we just wanted to get more involved this year. We think the parks are Portland's greatest asset, along with its people, and we just want to be a big part of it and use it to help use our name and our position in the community to help spread the word, to promote the use of the parks. We have many, many events planned in the parks this year, and it's a great opportunity for us to get more involved with the great things you guys are doing, great things that you're accomplishing, and we're just thankful to have this opportunity. We look forward to seeing you out at some of the events this summer that we're going to be doing. In addition to the six free clinics, we'll send boys out in a McCoy Freightliner vehicle to hand out some ice cream to some kids throughout the summer, and we've got a few more things planned. So, including a 7-3 basketball clinic the day the summer free for all tips off. This is a basketball town, so we tip events off here. But that being said. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the parks. We look forward to getting more and more involved.
Mike, do you want to say something about the kickoff event? No? Okay, we'll come back to that. So just while we have these great folks here, Mayor and colleagues, this year KeyBank joined the team, and as you know, they're also a sponsor of the Timbers. What they're planning to do in the movies in the park is bring Timbers to actually a number of the movies. You got a lot of families and children, and their idea was to bring the players out to some of the movies so people could meet their heroes. If you look at the schedule, there's something for everybody up here, whether it's Body Box on Thursday, August 2nd, or sharing a picnic blanket with Commissioner Leonard on July 18th when Curtis Salgado tears it up at Dawson Park, or perhaps joining Commissioner Saltzman at Glen Fair Park for Wednesday, August 8th, when Alvin and the Chipmunks will be broadcasting. You may want to be with Mayor Adams on Friday, August 3rd. You may want to be with Mayor Adams on Friday, August 3rd at Director Park, where we'll be taking tango lessons.
Oh, Lord.
Mr. Mayor, were you aware of that?
No.
Commissioner Fritz is a little more highbrow. She'll be in Laurelhurst Park Friday, August 3rd, watching Citizen Kane. And Emily Hicks will be teaching her son swimming at the Montevilla Pool on Tuesdays in the afternoon for free swims. There's truly something in here for everybody, and it simply would not be possible without our terrific sponsors. So to both of you gentlemen, the organizations you represent, heartfelt thank you. And Mayor Adams, you and I are going to be at the kickoff for this event, joining the Governor and the First Lady, and we'll be talking about hunger and food security and the way that through this program we reach hungry children. Jeff Milkus told me today he expects to serve 125,000 healthy meals this summer through our playground program, which was set an all-time record. So thanks to the council for their continued support, and thanks to our sponsors for all you do.
So if you don't mind, I'd just like to call out Ian
as the council knows, I've bored each of your stories about my grandson Cole's progress this last year, and one of them is in basketball, and Ian has been one of my newfound heroes in this last year. He's been the guy that has helped me get Cole into Trail Desert basketball camps, and always arranged to have some special one-on-one time with Coach McMillan. And you'll be happy to know, Ian, that Cole, they just won second place in the district championship last week, first place in the fall season, but the basketball camps have inspired him, not just being at the camps, but looking forward to them, as he is to the one this July that he's already signed up.
We're looking forward to having him out again.
Thank you for how much you have involved yourself with him. We really appreciate it.
And thanks for that and a whole host of other great things. I was there for the unveiling of the new Eco Wall in the Rose Garden Arena. It's fantastic. Thank you. Thank
our
you.
Pleasure.
Thanks, team.
Thanks very much. That's our presentation. Emergency Ordinance Item Number 676.
Establish the Portland Tourism Improvement District to enhance promotion of Portland as a preferred destination for meetings, conventions, and leisure travel.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. First off, I'd like to get a procedural step here, and that is I'd move that we accept a substitute ordinance for Council Item 676.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Council discussion. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to substitute?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute motion has been approved.
Okay, well, who hasn't seen the extremely clever signs on MAX trains and all over about 2 days in Seattle? All yeah. Accounts are very successful.
It burns my eyes.
Hold on. Well, this is I'm getting to a point here.
I hope so.
So who hasn't seen those clever marketing campaigns?
I haven't seen them, so I just
okay, you need to check a MAX train. Or who hasn't seen the very clever billboards by the state of Wyoming saying U.S. Bank Tower, meet Devil Tower, meet Devil Tower, or Salmon Springs, meet Old Faithful. So we are being marketed for our tourists, our residents, to go to these locations, and what is before us today is basically, for lack of a better term, is our effort to fight back. And that is, we are going to bolster our efforts if we create this tourism improvement district to bring more tourists, more businessmen and women as well, and really enhance Portland as a destination for those either business or tourism or leisure. And the crowd in front of you is not Occupy Portland. They are part of Operation Fight Back. They are all here in support of forming this Tourism Improvement District. And it's been my pleasure to represent the city on the Travel Portland Board. And it's a pleasure to bring this economic development proposal before the council today. Travel Portland Board and staff will come up here and explain the ordinance, but this ordinance will, by forming a Tourism Improvement District, provide the ability to market Portland as a visitor destination. And as I just mentioned from the marketing campaigns we see about us, it's an extremely, extremely competitive environment out there. Every city, every state is competing for these dollars. And why? And competing for these visitors. Because tourism, business travel is so important, not only to the hotels, which, as we all know, on the city council, having just adopted a budget, hotel motel tax revenues are the bright spot in the city revenue picture. And that's reflected by occupancies now that have passed the recession levels of 2007-08 and are back on a healthy track. And also that there's great jobs. The hospitality industry employs lots of people, and tourism business travelers also spend lots of money in Portland. Tax-free shopping, you know, that's one of our niches. And they spend money in restaurants, they spend money at attractions, they spend money renting cars and going out to the gorge or to the coast. So these all are important dollars for our economy. And this Tourism Improvement District is a way to bolster our efforts to continue to build this important sector of our economy. Tourism Improvement Districts, this is not the first, it's the first in Oregon, but not the first elsewhere. Seattle has created one. California alone has over 65 of these special assessment districts. And they're happening more and more. And what we're doing here today is really modeling our Tourism Improvement District exactly on the way that we create a business improvement district, allowing the hoteliers to assess themselves, in essence, to generate this Tourism Improvement Fund. And this will have extreme benefits for us, as I said, and I wanted to, at this point, invite up Steve Young and Jeff Miller. Jeff Miller is the Executive Director of Travel Portland. Steve Young is the current Chair of Travel Portland. I think they're both here. Okay. Steve is also the General Manager of Embassy Suites downtown Portland. So they'll walk us through it, and then we have a few other invited people to testify, and we'll take questions and answers after that.
Yeah, well, we have a slide presentation. I'm not sure if you
will be able to see it. We'll go to the audience.
Before I start, I just want to thank the council and Mayor Adams for their support and continued support for the hospitality industry. When I first came here 8 years ago, Mayor Adams' office called me, then Commissioner Adams, and asked to spend a day as a team member in our hotel. I still remember that. He worked as a housekeeper for several hours in the hotel just to get an understanding on what we do. So that was my first impression of Portland, is that one of the city commissioners would take the time to experience what someone in the hotel business does. So I'm not sure where you are, Mira, but where did you go? But thank you very much. Okay, well, good morning, and Mayor and council members. Again, my name is Steve Young, and I'm the general manager of the Embassy Suites in Portland and the board chair for Travel Portland. We're here to ask you for your support, sort of the city's hotel community in forming a tourism improvement district. As you know, Portland region enjoyed a robust uptick in tourism economic impact this year. Visitors spent $3.8 billion, which supported over 29,000 jobs. The earnings of those employees was $876 million, and they paid $62.5 million in local taxes and $84.5 million in state taxes. Clearly, this is a big business, and we want to make it even bigger and more successful. What is a TIB? The hotel community has come together and will assess itself 2% of guest room revenue so those funds can create an enhanced, stable source of funding. The goal is to increase visitor traffic to Portland hotels, increasing occupancy and average daily rates. As you know, when the hotels are full, all businesses in Portland benefit from that visitor spend. Restaurants, retail store, large and small, as well as taxi cabs and food carts. Everyone wins in a robust tourism economy. And the TID funds will be governed by a subcommittee of hoteliers and some others who already serve on the Travel Portland board. So these funds can be directed to leverage other programs already in place. Special care will be taken to ensure each region of the city is represented just as they currently are on the Travel Portland board. North Portland, the airport, East Side, and downtown will have representation that will approve the program of work created. Here's how we stack up against a competitive set of cities. Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles have already approved their TIDs in the past couple of years. Seattle added a $2 per room night fee, which increased their funding in the first year by $6 million. San Francisco has had their TID in place for almost 2 years and has seen amazing results. You'll see a little later how some of these cities are using these funds to grow visitation. Here's how Portland's current transient lodging tax compares to other cities. You can see that with an additional 2% assessment added to our current 12.5% tax, we are under most of our competitive set, and certainly still under Seattle's taxes and fees. This will also be effective in other ways. Our goal is to continue to remain competitive against our comp set of cities while allowing us the advantage of this funding to maintain and grow our market share. We have begun preliminary conversations with the TID board to think about building a conceptual budget. This budget is additional to the current Travel Portland budget and will leverage those funds. Travel Portland has done an amazing job of promoting Portland. However, with the current funding, they have never been able to tell Portland's story in a robust manner. You will see a significant amount of these funds being used to attract more convention business on top of what already is spent. These new funds will start a domestic promotion campaign. You will begin to see advertising campaigns in cities like Seattle, San Francisco, and Vancouver, British Columbia. These are already significant markets for us, but we would increase this by even a small percentage in the slower winter months. The benefits could be significant. Once you pass the ordinance, the TID board will get to work on planning the final budget for the enhanced Travel Portland program of work. Seattle has implemented its TID and is now benefiting from the enhanced marketing and advertising. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, that you have seen some of these billboards on Max Wraps that you drive by and the that drive you to the website 2 days in Seattle. They also sponsored massive radio in our market to drive the site. Seattle's target markets are Portland, Vancouver, Spokane, and San Francisco. These markets mirror Portland's visitor traffic, so this becomes about competing for market share. I love that Seattle has the funds to do this in Portland. It shows great creativity, and we should be equally strong in Seattle as well as the other cities I mentioned. Here are a couple other examples of other cities who have successfully created tourism improvement districts. San Diego is set to renew their district, this time for 40 years. They have helped market events like the San Diego Crew Classic, showing off their city as a sports paradise. One of our tactics might be to really emphasize the access to the outdoors with great biking and hiking opportunities. Here's an advertisement that speaks of San Diego's laid-back appeal and great sunshine. The visuals in this slide were used in numerous publications to help cement the brand of San Diego. San Francisco just created a new LGBT marketing campaign. While they have always had significant funds, they were never able to do this lucrative market justice. Similarly, Travel Portland teamed with community marketing last year to survey visitors from across the country, but they did also focus groups in San Francisco and Seattle. They spoke to a broad cross of section of travelers to get their impressions of Portland and how we might better focus our marketing efforts to attract more LGBT visitors. Our TID funds could be used to grow this market for Portland also. The survey results can be found on the Travel Portland's website. Los Angeles was able to host the International Powwow, which is the largest international tour operator show in the U.S. Travel Portland's team attended along with Travel Oregon and was able to promote us to a huge international audience. These funds could allow us to create an even stronger trade show booth to show off the attributes of the city. Although our city cannot handle the size of a powwow, we may be able to host a PCMA, or the Professional Convention Managers Association. Members make decisions on convention destinations. You see how many hotels are tracked by Smith Travel in our market. It is immediately clear that our cooler winter months could use some help. Our ability to focus our efforts where the help is needed most will benefit the whole community. You have the ordinance in front of you, but here are the highlights. a 2% assessment on hotels with more than 50 rooms, with the ordinance being reviewed every 5 years by the hotel community for renewal. We have worked with the Bureau of Revenue to make it as simple as possible for hotels to remit the assessment, which they do on a single invoice with the current tax. Here is the process we have undertaken to get to today. We held 5 hotel listening sessions, and the hotels that attended represent over 68% of the revenue generated by hotels over 50 rooms. The support from the hotel community was great to see. Thank you again for your support today, and if you have any questions, we will be happy to answer them for you.
Thanks, Steve. That was great. Did you have remarks too, Jeff?
Just briefly. I'm from the Travel Portland side. You know, we're very pleased to be in front of you to ask for your approval today. For over 30 years, Travel Portland has worked very hard to attract more overnight demand to Portland. We work with convention and meeting planners, as you know, and just this last Friday, Mayor Adams had a group of FAM attendees at the DoubleTree Hilton. It was very nice to do, and many of you have been to those lunches or dinners. It means a lot. Our international sales team worked in both Asia and Europe with tour operators and helped fill those flights to Amsterdam and Tokyo. We're now working in Australia, New Zealand, and Scandinavia. Our PR team works very hard with domestic and international riders. And so far through the third quarter of this year, we have helped riders with articles that have been valued over $13.9 million. In ad equivalency value. Our board is 28 hotel or community leaders. 12 of those are hoteliers, and every other year our hotel, our chair is a hotelier. So our mission is very, very clear, is to create those that demand for room nights here. As you know, we get 1% of the city's hotel motel tax and some funds from the convention center and other places, but they all have handcuffs. So this will create a fund that we can leverage the programs, but also create the new exciting programs. CL is very excited, actually, about us getting this passed. Tom Norwalk, my partner there, knows how successful it's been for him. But he also knows if we can get more people thinking about travel, it's better for all of us, and it really will move the economy forward. So we're incredibly pleased that the hoteliers came forward and said we'd like to investigate a TID, and we're happy to be here today. So thank you.
Thank you. So we have a couple of invited, well, I should say 5 invited guests. 6, I think. Mr. Wally, the Providence Hotels president, Tracy Marks of the Hilton, and Jim Dodson of Embassy Suites. I guess we have 3 seats up there. So, gentlemen, if you could all come up. Welcome.
Thank you.
Fisher, you want to start?
Nice. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. We're glad to be here. Thank you for having us. I'm Bashar Wali, the president of Provenance Hotels. And I believe we are the only hotel company actually based here in Portland, Oregon. We own in the city the Lucia, the Deluxe, the Westin, the Benson. And we're glad to say we brought the governor back into local hands. So we're glad to have it in our portfolio, and we intend on making it again a property that the city is proud of. We also have hotels in Tacoma, Seattle, San Francisco, and Tennessee, and certainly the Seattle experience that we've seen out of their assessment that they've done, that they've had for about a year now, it's been extremely successful, and the Seattle Fund has been dedicated exclusively for use for leisure travelers because they have a separate bucket for which they use towards conventions and groups. And again, the 2-day ad in Seattle that they put in Portland, and they've heavily covered Portland with it as well as San Francisco and Vancouver, we've seen it as hoteliers in Seattle, we've seen the payoff from it. The regional market is very lucrative for us, the drive-to market. So a lot of the Boise's and Portland's and sort of the regional market at large coming to Seattle, it's extremely lucrative, and they're all focusing on it. All these cities are focusing on it. So not only does it benefit the hotels, obviously the cabs, the rental car companies, restaurants, and everything in between. And for us to be able to compete for that lucrative regional market is very helpful. Obviously for Portland, our feeder cities are kind of like Seattle. San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver, BC, maybe Boise, and some of the other mountain states. So we are in support of this and excited about the prospect of using the funds to allow more visitors to come to Portland and hear more about Portland, whether it's on the convention side, because our assessment will cover both tourism and conventions. And the other sort of hidden value of bringing new eyes to Portland is really those who come and love the city and want to bring their businesses here. So it's not about somebody coming for a weekend. It's about somebody coming, falling in love, and bringing their companies here. And I can't tell you how many folks visit us. The other day, we had a guy from Hong Kong visiting. We toured around the city and would not stop talking about Portland, largely thanks to the hard work you all do to create this great environment that we have here. So we're very excited to have this passed and be able to utilize that money for the good of the community at large, not just the hoteliers. I know we're sort of bringing it to the table, but ultimately it's for the benefit of all involved. So the other thing that we also see, for example, is the Pioneer Square Visitor Centers that gets 600,000 visitors annually, and a lot of them are international visitors, and being able to, again, attend to that international traveler. And Portland is really starting to make the news more and more, largely as a result of the Travel Portland work that they do internationally, but obviously, again, the great city that we have and its reputation. So we'd like to continue those efforts internationally to try to get some of those tourists. And again, we're behind it, and relative to competitive advantages, the first worry we had is where do we stack against our competitive cities? And clearly from what you saw, adding this assessment isn't going to move the needle much. We're very competitive still. We're either right there with all the other competitive cities or a little lower than that. And again, Seattle, I can't tell you. It's been such a huge success. In fact, in Seattle, they also had a hurdle for what hotel, how many rooms you have to have in order to participate. And some of the hoteliers that didn't have to participate are electively calling and saying, well, we want in. We love this, and we see what it's doing, and we want in. So again, as someone who's seen it in other cities and seen it work, we truly believe in it, and we believe in its value. So thank you for having us, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Tracy Marks, General Manager of the Hilton Portland Executive Tower, largest hotel not only in the city but in the state, employing over 400 tax-paying members. We are very excited about the Tourism Improvement District. You know, we are obviously us, the Marriott, Starwood, big global brands. We have a big presence throughout not only this country but, of course, internationally now. And we spend a lot of money, all of those companies, getting our brand out. We do a lot of traveling to the East Coast. Many of the conventioners that visit our city every day are from Washington, D.C. or Chicago, where most of the association businesses are based. We visit them on a regular basis and try to tell the Portland story. And once we get them out here, and we just had a fam the other day, again, we appreciate the mayor's involvement. We know in the previous fam, Commissioner Fish came and spoke to all our fam members. We appreciate that. It's very powerful to have you, the city planners, come and let all of our attendees know how important their business is and how much we'd love to have them here. But what we need to do is to increase Portland's brand power. And the way to do that is to increase our marketing message. This TID actually will almost double the amount of marketing funds that we have available. So when Lance Roars and some of the other big hoteliers like myself travel to some of these cities, we're not telling everybody the best kept secret, which is Portland, because hopefully they'll already know about it because the new marketing plan is going to be very impactful. So we would encourage all of you to help us support the brand of Portland and to help us have all of the tools that we need to get the brand message out there. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor and Councilors. Thank you for your time. I'm Jim Dotson. I'm the General Manager of the Embassy Suites at the airport. I'm here representing both the Embassy Suites and the Holiday Inn and the airport area. My friend from the Sheraton is here as well today. I'm here to talk about why would the airport care about a TID. And first of all, we're part of the city, and we're the gateway into the city, and we're also the gateway out to adventures, the gorge, the mountain, and many other areas. And the benefit to us is not only the compression that large conferences create downtown, but the individual travelers many times enjoy being at the airport so they can go either pre or post their opportunities into the community very easily out of our hotels and into their next destination or home, whichever it may be. Additionally, having been in the market here for over 15 years and running other hotels in this market, in the Jansen Beach area in specific, which is also not the downtown core, I can tell you that this kind of thing would really, truly benefit all of us. It brings awareness of our community. It brings awareness of all of the attractions of the community, which are not just in downtown but surrounding areas. And it brings traffic, which employs, in my case, between our two hotels, over 240 employees in your community. as well as I know there are many other hotels at the airport which will benefit. One of the questions might be, well, how do you ensure that that's going to happen to those people out in the hinterlands? Well, I'm on the board of Travel Portland. I expect to be on the board of the TID. I know that other folks from those other communities outside the core community will also be involved. The TID board will represent a broad spectrum of all the hoteliers in the community to ensure that there is impactful statements and not to divert funds to little projects for the airport or Jansen Beach, but to ensure that the umbrella projects have value for everyone. I'm thoroughly convinced this is a good thing for our community, for my employees, for my employer, and for everyone. So we look forward to your support on this issue.
Great, thank you. The last three invited guests are David Pendleton of American World Tours, David Welch, Lincoln and Sunshine Taverns, and Victoria Fry, the Executive Director of PICA.
Welcome.
David, do you want to start?
Okay. Good morning, and Council. My name is David Pendleton, and I'm the co-owner of America's Hub World Tours here in Portland, Oregon. And we actually seek to expose our visitors, both domestic and international, to the culture, the history, activities around Portland. The other thing that I do is I am a member of Travel Portland, the Royal Rotarians, Qantas, and a few other organizations in town. So I'm committed to not only growing tourism, but also being an active in terms of growing this city as a whole. Last week, I had the opportunity to participate in one of the fam trips that Travel Portland put on with 26 meeting planners that came into town. On Wednesday, I attended the first dinner event, which everyone was excited to be here. And on Saturday, I attended the final event that they had, blowing glass and dinner. I've never seen a group so excited about what had been shared with them in the city. They, one after another, they kept saying, this is the best fam trip that we've ever had. The other thing that they pointed out very clearly, they have never been to a city or an area where the hotelers worked so close together. And they were so used to just the opposite. And I heard this not just from one meeting planner, but several, and we sat round table. And one after another, I kept hearing them say, we want to come back. This city has so much to offer. And there lies the opportunity. You know, we think that we've actually, you know, people know Portland, they know about Portland. I believe Jeff had mentioned that his staff has worked with writers and wrote some articles, and I think it was $11 million they spent last year and 13.9 through three quarters of this year. And I think we're just touching the surface. We have so much more groundwork that needs to be laid out there. In May of this year, Powwow was in LA, and I attended Powwow. And it was very exciting to see the response from the international market when the president announced what we were doing from a branding standpoint with the United States. And it was well received. And then when I look at the opportunity there, about $153 billion tourism industry, and I look what we're doing here, the money that we're talking about here is only going to help to leverage and position us to really grow tourism. And that's why I'm here and, you know, sharing that with you today, and hope that you will look and continue to work with us and support this group here on the TID, because I'm supportive.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good. David?
Hi. My name is David Welch. I own Lincoln Restaurant and Sunshine Tavern with my wife, Jen Lewis. I guess we would be the typical mom-and-pop restaurateurs in Portland. Literally mom-and-pop. I'm terrible at self-promotion, but I can talk about my wife's accolades all day long. So her hard work has... really, we've been very fortunate as a restaurant. First year that we were open, Condé Nast magazine listed us as one of 50 best new restaurants in North America. My wife's been a James Beard nominee twice, and we leave tomorrow to celebrate her accomplishments as one of Food & Wine magazine's best new chefs for 2012. It's really fun to see your wife on the cover of Food & Wine magazine. We've been open 4 years and up at Lincoln. Sunshine's about a year old. We aren't downtown, so tourism is really important to us in the sense that we get a lot of people who don't know North Portland, or they don't know Southeast Division and 30th. And we and our relationship with Travel Portland is really important in bringing people over so we can show them what we do here in Portland in terms of food, drink, and for them, even more important, hospitality. We pride ourselves on taking great care of our guests, and we think that that's a very Portland thing. Travel Portland and our relationship allows us to be able to do that. And Travel Portland's been very good to us in the sense that we get to travel outside of Portland and talk to people in Chicago, in Toronto, all over the country, and for that matter, in North America, about what it is that we do in terms of food and drink here in Portland. And that relationship's been really important for us in terms of getting people here to the city to enjoy the thing that we do, as well as all of the other things that Portland has to offer.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about it.
Great, thank you.
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is pretty exciting. I hadn't heard about that. I'm Victoria Fry. Good morning, Commissioners, Mayor. I'm the Executive Director for PICA, Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. I've been involved in the cultural community here for about 25, maybe more than 25 years. And I've been directly involved with Travel Portland since we founded the Time-Based Art Festival in 2003 and came on the board 4 years ago. What I've learned in the last decade, and especially in the last 40 years, is just how important tourism is to the arts community and how important it is to be thinking about growth in that constituency. 78% of U.S. leisure travelers participate in cultural activities. That's 118 million adults a year. Last year, visitors to Oregon spent $107 million on cultural activities alone in the Portland metro region. That spending generated 1,600 jobs and $86 million in earnings. That's a significant boost to the cultural institutions of our city, not to mention the galleries, some of whom report that 50 to 60% of their business comes from out of state. One of Portland's greatest assets is the quality and breadth of this cultural community. The New York Times called Portland a small metropolis with an outsized cultural footprint that has emerged as the capital of West Coast urban cool. It's a magnet for young, fiercely independent cultural entrepreneurs who have invigorated the local economy by staking out new ground in food, music, arts, spirits, and lodging. Portland's unique stamp on these fields has drawn the attention of national and international tastemakers. Time to invest in building this on this reputation is now. When PICA first had this idea for an international arts festival here in Portland, we assembled a group of public partners, we called them, Travel Portland, Travel Oregon, and many of you were the first to come on board. Mayor Adams was then Commissioner, Commissioner Fish. Understanding what this could do for, not only for our economy, but for our reputation as a cultural destination. I think we were dreaming of maybe Edinburgh, you know, where the Edinburgh International Festival draws three or four times the population of the local tourism actually outnumbers local traffic there 4-1 or 5-1 during the month of August. Certainly, we didn't quite have that ambition, but you understood what we were trying to do here. And that early investment paid off. The New York Times recently called TBA the best contemporary festival in the U.S.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, that was pretty. This has been done through small investments in out-of-market campaigns, and we've successfully grown tourism to represent 20% of our TBA audiences. That's pretty significant. A number of these tourists are curators and influencers in their cities, and by showcasing local talent alongside an international conversation, we're able to help these local artists and regional artists in their careers through promoting tours, international tours, and we're bringing in a lot of international tastemakers. As I say, last year, a group of curators from three major institutions in France came out to both PDX, Music Fest Northwest, and TBA Festival, and ended up putting together a festival called Keep Portland Weird, a 10-day festival that they called a celebration of the cradle of American underground music. So many of us attended that. It was a pretty interesting marketing thing.
How was it?